ushers are going to be passing out a plate, and instead of putting something in, we'd ask you to take something out. So there's going to be a piece of paper in there, and then there's also some pens. So if you need a pen, take one of those as well. And we're going to be going into just a time of reflection here in just a moment. But go ahead and start passing those out. And what you're going to grab is a piece of paper and a pen. And I'll give some more instruction as we continue to go on. So, well, how's everybody doing? Okay, sounds a little like sugar comatose is still like working its way out of the system. I hear it takes about like 3 days for everything to kind of work its way out. So how are we doing again? Okay, all right. Well, okay, we'll work with that. So, no, I'm excited to worship this morning. This morning we're going to be dealing with praising God. And here's one of the things, that as things are being passed out, something that I want you to think about. I want to talk a little bit about how we approach praising God, how we approach worship. And for some of you, here's the reality. As I was thinking through this morning and thinking about coming to praise, here's the reality of what I know for each and every one of us this morning. Praise is sometimes hard to come into. Worship is sometimes hard to come into. There are some times when we approach praise and worship, and I don't want to worship. Believe it or not, there's some mornings where I don't want to worship. And I don't. I don't worship. I wake up and I get out of bed and I'm like, I don't want to. And in my crabby attitude, I just move on with the day and I don't want to worship. I don't want to think about God. I don't want to focus on who he is. And maybe some of you are coming in this morning and you're feeling a little bit like I do some mornings. You're like, I don't want to worship this morning. I don't even know if I want to be here this morning. I kind of wanted to hit snooze a couple more times. And maybe that's your approach as we come in to praise. And it's been a struggle this whole morning. And then there's other times when we come into worship where I don't want to do it, but I do it. And I don't want to do something, and yet I know it's something that is good for me. I know it's something that I need to do. And I come in, and deep in my soul, I don't want to do it, but I come in and I lift hands and I praise anyway, despite what I want to do or don't want to do. And then there's also times when you might come in, and I've experienced this as well, where I really want to worship, but I just can't. I just don't feel like I can, and my heart wants to. I want to go there, but I just can't lift my hands. And maybe some of you have felt that way this morning, where you're coming in, and you're like, I want to worship. I want to lift hands, and it's so hard to get my body to do what my deep down in my soul I want to do. Having a hard time with that. And then there are other times when we worship and I want to worship. This morning was one of those mornings where I really appreciated Tristan just slowing things down, actually letting other people take time off and worshiping and listening just to a guitar. And I didn't have to worry about being distracted maybe by other instruments. There are some times where it's just so good in silence just to sit and think about who God is and worship. And in the quietness, which I appreciate you, what you did, is you helped my heart slow down and listen and focus on what I was singing. And it caught me up in worship, and I wanted to worship, and I was excited to. So I don't know how you're coming this morning, but the reality for each and every one of us when we approach worship, we may be at a place where I don't want to and I don't, or I don't want to and I do. And maybe I do want to, but I can't. Or maybe I want to, and I will, and I'm excited to. And surprisingly, actually, there's a lot of different aspects of that that are worship. There are times when I want to, but I can't, and that's part of worship. There are some times when I don't want to, and I worship, and that actually is genuine worship, where I stop just being about my own feelings, and I just acknowledge God and who he is. I can do that. I can still genuinely worship in that. So this morning, we're going to be talking about praise and kind of looking forward to this morning and talking about this. So a couple questions that I want to throw on the screen here as we get ready to get going this morning. What things can you praise God for this year? So as you have that piece of paper, one of the things that you're going to be doing is at the end of this service, I'm going to have some time for you to think about that. If you can think of some things that are just off the top of your head, you're like, man, these are the things that as I look back on this year that I am just so jazzed about. I can't believe what God did. So maybe just to give you an idea and get your creative juices flowing, sometimes that kind of helps when we start thinking about things that God did. Man, I was just blown away thinking about how God worked a transition that we have just been going through this year. So many times this year, and what I mean by transition is that we had Richard Crocker as our lead pastor, and in January of this last year, we transitioned into me being lead pastor. And it's been so cool to watch this process as I've talked to so many different people watching going, we had no clue what was going to happen with this transition. And we were a little skeptical because we've been through transitions in churches before. And then as they've gone through this and stayed in there with us, they've been like, it has been so awesome to watch how this church transitioned through this. That there's still a lead pastor who was a previous lead pastor. He stuck around. He's still here as a mentoring pastor. And we're seeing God just work in a unique way. And they're excited about it. And I'm excited about it. God has worked in such a unique way through that whole transition process. And I've just been blown away. This doesn't have anything to do with, I don't look at this at myself or even, I look more to what Richard did through this whole process. I think that takes a lot to do that. And he's done that well. And there's been a shepherd team that has done that well. But ultimately, God has been the one who's been orchestrating this, moving this forward, been excited about that. Been excited as I've been watching different people step up into different positions. There's been new groups that have been formed. There's been things that God's been doing in the children's ministry. And it's been so fun to watch God work in our midst. Been excited about it. Then to take it back from just church, I've been thinking through this year. This year, my son, Lance, he ended up going and serving in CYIA in Christian Youth in Action. And it was awesome to see him gain an appreciation and a love for Jesus as he's going out and serving. My daughter this year, she's been so excited. She's praying right now about going to Columbia this next year. And she's excited for people to hear this good news that she believes so firmly that it changed her life that she now wants to see others' lives changed as well. Been excited as I've been watching my wife and just stepping into this role. I was so thankful for her when she spoke on submission, that S word that nobody likes to talk about. At least, anyway, it can be misunderstood. And she talked in here with me and said, you know what yielding is? It's this joyful yielding. And she used that illustration of kind of like the roundabout here in Cheyenne where there's a yield sign. And I yield so I can look at other oncoming traffic and I consider them before I merging out into traffic. And that's what yielding is, that I'm looking out not just for myself but for others. And that was meaningful to me. That was powerful for me to see how she was looking through and studying scripture and how that impacted her as a wife. So as I look back on this year and I'm thinking back on things that I can praise God for, man, there's been so many good things. There's even been horrible things. We had hail damage and we've been in the crisis and throes of trying to deal with all of that. But I've been reminded that even as the Lord gives, he also takes away. And we've learned a lot even through that loss and how God's just faithful. He walks with us. So as I've been looking back and thinking back, I wanted to challenge each and every one of us, what are things that we can praise God for? So if you think of something as you're sitting here, maybe even as I'm talking, and you want to write something down, write that down, and then what's going to happen is the usher team's going to come back, and they're going to collect these, and we're going to take time and read some of these, and just random ones that we're going to pick up, and just celebrate what God is doing in the lives of people. So what's God doing in your life that you can praise God for this year? Does praise change us? Does it change us as people? Is it important for us? I think that's kind of a self-explanatory question, but I think it demands asking. And we'll think about that this morning. So as we kind of move forward, here's what we're going to do. So looking at this next slide, I want us to think through a couple different aspects to kind of build an idea of praise and the purpose of it. One, when we consider who our God is, do you realize that God delights in what he does? That we have a God who actually finds pleasure in himself. He finds pleasure in what he does. So one, we can look at Genesis 1 when he creates everything. Day one, he calls light into existence. And at the end of the day, do you remember what God says? It's very good. It's good. He keeps saying this over and over again. There's this activity and flurry of activity that he does. And then all of a sudden there's a pause for a moment and he reflects and goes, man, I'm awesome. I'm good. He can say that. By the way, it's very appropriate for God to say that. He worships. He delights in what he's made. And then to the end of it where he says, wow, this is very good. I'm pretty dang good. He delights in what he does. There's other verses up there that you can look at to consider how God looks at what he does, and he finds pleasure. He delights in what he does. We also see angels join in the chorus of this. I'm going to turn back just a little bit. I'm in Psalm 50, 150, because that's what we're going to be considering this morning. But in Job, there's this chorus, this praise that echoes. I'm going to read through it in Job 38. Listen to what Scripture says, 38, 4 through 7. Won't read all of these, but just a few of them to consider. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? God is talking to Job. Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. See, God is in this flurry of activity and he's going, wow, this is good. I like what I'm doing. And then all of a sudden you see angels join in this chorus and they're coming in and they're looking at what God's doing and they're singing the morning stars. It's angels that are praising God and worshiping him and what he's doing. They're caught up in this wonder of activity. So angels join in the chorus, and then people, as people, were to actually join in as well. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we were a people that were actually taken and given to God, to himself, to be a people for exclaiming and proclaiming his wondrous praise. So we were actually to be a people who, as we see what God is doing, we were actually designed and uniquely wired to actually respond to this and worship and praise as well. God delights in what he does. Angels are caught up in this. We then come along as well, and we're caught up in this, and we delight in it as well. That's how we were designed, how we were wired. We were designed to be worshiping beings. But there's a problem. Not always is that something that we do. If you consider with me one of the passages here in Romans 1:21, the reality is we don't always respond that way. So Paul mentions this, for although they knew God, they looked at what he had done. For although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. See, the reality is sometimes instead of us actually looking at what God does and considering what he's done and coming in and worshiping and praising, the other response that we can have sometimes is that we look at what's happened, and even though it's plain and apparent to us, we don't worship. We maybe attribute it to something else, maybe to something else in our life. Or maybe to like something that the Israelites struggled with, an idol. Wow, what really actually brought me comfort in this wasn't God, it was XYZ. And so instead of giving praise, we direct it elsewhere. So as we think about this, there are different aspects to praise. And one of the other ones that we think through is this. Is praise something that I have to do only when I want to? Only when good things are happening? Consider this next slide with me. Praise is not limited to good circumstances. Some of you this morning, you're coming in here, and maybe it's been a tough week. It's been hard. And you're going, man, I don't want to. I don't feel like praising God because there's chaos going on in my life. There's difficulty. There's hardship. If anyone could relate with this, Job would be a great guy to look at. And this is from Job. He's considering, after everything is stripped from Job, here's his response. Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I'll return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What does he do in the midst of everything being stripped from him? He bends a knee. He worships. He doesn't lift a hand critical of God and go, man, why are you doing this to me, God? Instead, he bends a knee and goes, this wasn't mine to begin with. He gave. Now he's taken away. I praise him. He's in control of this. I trust him. So something important for us when we consider praise, it's not just based on good circumstances, on ideal circumstances in our life. It's based on us bending a knee and willingness to yield to God and say, you are the one that's in control. Here's who you are, and I'm going to bend a knee based on who you are. The last one is it's a collaborative effort. And as we sing this morning, and it's a little less noisy because of one guitar, there's a requirement as we come together, and actually this is something that God takes great delight in. When it's not just, there are times when we read through scripture and it's an individual saying, I praise you, God, just like we see of Job. It's an individual saying, I bless you. That's a great thing. But one of the things that God absolutely delights in is when people come together and in one chorus, in one voice, we come together to do something that we couldn't do on our own. And there's a chorus that rings out from this building as we've been praising God together. And we ring out and we say, great are you, God. You're holy. Oh, you are so loving, God. We thank you for who you are. There's something that God really delights when that happens. When people yield to him and sing together and come together to worship him in his entirety and who he is. So various different aspects to think through with praise. Now let's actually move into Psalm 150. Just some notes for us this morning. As we consider Psalm 150, it's a very short psalm. Don't know exactly when it was written. Don't know who wrote it. But most likely, when we look at this and we consider this psalm, what a great ending to all the different psalms. What a way to finish things off. This word that starts us off, it's praise the Lord, and it also ends this. You might recognize it as my son sometimes will walk around, and he'll go, hallelujah. And I'll hear him say that every so often or when he's walking around the house. And that's hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's just what it means. So if you ever hear somebody say hallelujah, they're not just speaking in tongues. They're saying praise the Lord. Now you can understand them. So praise the Lord. This is used 23 times ever since Psalm 104. Praise the Lord. It's this call to worship for each and every one of us. And that's the thing that you're going to notice. There's a call to worship for each and every person to do something, to take and actually use our voices for something. This word that's used, praise, it means for us to do something with our voice. It's not just quiet contemplation. It's actually to sing out, to call out, to declare together. It requires engagement of us. And so we're going to read through this together. And I'd actually ask that we read through this collectively together. I'm going to read through it first, and then we'll read through it together. And so go ahead and stand with me in honor just of the word and just as a way of celebrating who God is. Stand in honor of important dignitaries. We're going to stand in honor of our King. Listen to what the word of God says. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So together, let's read this. Let's go back to the beginning. There we go. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. So as we move through this, just a brief note on this psalm. The first verse is just a call to worship. So when we look at Psalm 150, verse 1, go ahead and head back to that. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Basically, it's a call for us to praise God. This doesn't consider our circumstances. This doesn't consider what's been going on in our life. This is simply a call for each and every person. Praise the Lord. Praise him. Pretty easy to obey this command to us, this admonishment to us. Praise him. Praise the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. We start with location. Praise him on earth. Praise him in the heavens. Basically looking at universality. We are, wherever we are to be praising God. Here on earth, obviously, when the psalm would be written in the temple, people were to be praising God. When I would come into the temple, I would be caught up in worship. Praise him in the heavens. We think of angelic beings who, when we look into Revelation, we get ideas of these beings that are standing before the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We're caught up into worship and knowing that regardless of where we are to be praising God. Hallelujah. We go into the next part. Well, why? What's the context for us to be praising him? What's the reason that I should be praising God this morning? Praise him for his mighty deeds. I consider what he has done. So shouldn't be a surprise to us this morning that even in considering this passage, why am I asking you to think about what's happened this year? Consider his mighty deeds. Consider the victories that he's won in your lives. Consider the victories that maybe you've been praying for something in other people's lives. Consider what he has been doing, his mighty deeds. When we specifically think of this, we can also go back to scripture. I was on a walk this morning just thinking through, as I've been reading through the Old Testament, thinking about how God has worked all throughout history, drawing a people to himself, taking them out of slavery, drawing them into the land of Israel and helping them conquer their enemies there, giving them this land as they strayed from him rescuing them back to himself, looking at the character of God and worshiping him for who he is and what he's done. Why is it so important for us to consider what he's done? You look at the next part, it says, not only praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his excellent greatness. What he does reveals something to us about his nature, what kind of God this person is. So it's important that we pause. It's important that we look back. It's important that we reflect on what God has done, because that gives us an idea of who he is and what he is like. Why? So that we can then be caught up in this praise again. So that then I can say, praise you, God. Look at what you've done. Look at how you've worked in the past. Man, I'm in this horrible situation right now, but look at how you've worked in times past. I can trust you here. And it gives strength. It says, praise him with trumpet sound. Should call to mind, this isn't a brass instrument. This is a horn. This was the shofar. It was something that you would hear regularly on three feasts that would happen. It would call out. There'd be one long blast calling people to worship. It would also be this one long blast would be something to remind them that there was a king. And sometimes they would sound this blast at the coronation of a king. The shofar was used as a call to worship. It was also used for us to remember. There'd be short blasts that would sometimes be used to help us remember our sin. Make us pause and reflect. So praise him with trumpet sound. These were something that were used by the Levites, the priests. Praise him with the lute and the harp, other instruments that would happen with the priests. Keep going forward for me, Ty. Tambourine and dance. I was almost tempted to bring in a dancer this morning to give us an idea of probably what would have happened as they were reading through this. They would probably read through this and there would be these instruments that would start sounding. To give you an idea of, so when you're reading through this psalm, actually start hearing the instruments, a long blast of the shofar, the tambourine being clapped. There's the dancers who are dancing around. This is something to be seen. This is a sight to be happening. For some, this might make us a little uncomfortable in our worship, right? Bereans, we don't exactly dance in the aisles or anything. But that was something quite normal for the people to do, just in praise to God. They would dance. They would celebrate. Makes me look forward to what heaven's going to be like. Praise him with sounding cymbals. This isn't a quiet process. This is loud. Loud cymbals. Let everything that has breath. Then we come back to people. People who are intelligent and have a way of reasoning. For us as people who have breath, we are to praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So consider some thoughts with me this morning. Does praise change us? Absolutely. See, when you consider what that psalm was just telling us to do, praise the Lord. What does it do? It actually forces me, when I think through those words, praise the Lord, it changes my focus of where I'm actually gazing. Where am I looking? So often what can happen is my gaze, my focus is on myself. It's on things that are just happening here. Instead, what the psalmist is encouraging us to do is to change our gaze, change our focus, and look up. Look up at God. Praise the Lord. Look up. Change your gaze. It changes us. So it redirects our gaze. It also reminds us of our source of strength. What were they praising God for? Look what you have done, God. Look at how you've come through in the past. Look at how you've come through for me. And we start thinking back, and that actually gives us strength to keep taking steps forward. Some of us are maybe tired. Some of us are maybe hurting, and we don't know if we can take the next step. You're worried about breaking the leg just as you take a step out. Maybe that's how you feel right now. The thing that gives strength, the thing that gave the psalmist strength in this was to consider God and what he did and how he carried people in the past and how that shows us something about his character that we can actually take steps out on, and it's a solid foundation. So it reminds us of our source of strength that alters how we sound. Maybe for some of us, and what we, if you were to sit down with some of us this week and recount what we've talked about, maybe there would be lamenting, maybe there would be mourning, maybe it would sound kind of self-focused. But when we're called by the psalmist here, he says, with clashing cymbals, not just talking and whining about what's happened. Now instead, I'm going to redirect my focus. I'm going to focus on the source of strength, and I'm actually going to make noise to God. I'm going to make loud noise. There's going to be dancing involved. There's going to be a chorus, and some of us may actually need to do that. Maybe when we sing, I can't remember where Tristan is, but I hope we have one more song left. Maybe what you need is to actually get up and dance. You're like, I don't know if I want to. It's okay. Maybe what you don't want to do is the very thing that you need to do. To engage your body in praise to our God and give him the glory that's due his name. It's not just a show. It's something that I'm reflecting on who God is and what he's done, and I'm responding to it with my whole body. Attaboy, Lance. Dancing in the back. He's already getting to it. Alters how we sound, and it transforms how we suffer. Praise transforms how we suffer. Did you hear Job? The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That radically changes how he was going through difficulty. Worship changed how he was going through difficult time. And some of us are in difficult time. And the very thing that maybe I don't want to do, because it's hard, it doesn't feel right, is maybe the thing that would save me as I'm going through this difficult time. To not just focus on the pain, to focus on God, to focus on the one who is a refuge, one that we can run to for strength. Praise fundamentally, it radically changes us. So I come back to our question. What will you praise God for this year? Here's what I want us to do. Ty's going to play some music for us. You have a piece of paper there before you. Pause. Think back. Think on something that you could write down of just, wow, God, this is a way that you showed up. Praise him for it. Maybe it was a difficulty in your life. This was difficult. Praise God. He's gotten me through it. Take a moment right now and pause and write. Ty, go ahead and get some music going. We're going to take a moment of silence and write something. Write what God's done. If you need a pen, if you need a pencil, raise your hand and we can make sure to get one out to you. Take just a moment to reflect. Stepped in and saved the day. Going to go ahead and have the ushers go ahead and start passing plate. This was an exercise as a community. I'd encourage you to do this as a family. Do it with your kids. Sit down with your kids, reflect back over the year, and think through, wow, God, how have you shown yourself? What have you done this year? And listen to how kids, it's so fun doing this with kids too, and just the things that they remember of what God's done. And so what we're going to do is we're going to collect these and bring them up, and we're just going to read through them. And here's the deal. When I'm reading these, what we're reading is a celebration to God. If you feel like clapping to God, it's a praise to God. Does that make sense? So it's okay. You can even shout an amen. You can say, man, praise God. You can yell hallelujah. Huh, Lance? Yeah, he gave the thumb up. So feel free to even engage in this process. Tristan's just going to be playing the guitar. I'm going to get these in just a moment. Just going to pick randomly and just for a few minutes, just read just what God's doing. And feel free to respond and worship. Celebrate. Some of the things that I think we don't always do well as Christians, we do really well at whipping ourselves over the back. We don't do well at celebrating and worshiping. And gathering together around the joy of the Lord and coming together and finding that strength in God and celebrating what he's done, giving him credit for what he's doing in our midst. So that's what we're working on this morning. Partner with us. Remember that passage that I referred to, that this is a team effort. Requires collaboration. Here we go. It's full. Yeah, thank you. Even just before we get going to that, if you've just been blessed by the fact that we have a person leading worship this morning, would you give a hand to God? That's right. If you have been blessed by the fact that our kids have a place to go and hear about Jesus, give a praise to God. You've been blessed by the fact that we have people serving you, greeting you, passing a plate, doing sound in the back. That's the thankless hero back there. Give a praise to God. Yeah. Amen. Let's continue in that vein. This year, I'm thankful that I finally found you, Lord, that I and my family are now finding a relationship with you, Lord. I was so lost, and now I'm finding myself in your amazing love and glory. Praise God. Praise God for not letting me in my life. Praise God for helping find my identity. Thank you, God, for helping me find friends. And even though it's not working out well, thank you for everything. Praise God. I praise God for his work in my heart, my wife and her strength, love and grace, my kids as they learn to seek God, this church family, our friends and family, and forgiveness. Amen. Encourage one another. Keep it up. Not working nights and weekends, God's mercy and grace, the desire to leave Cheyenne. However, God has us here. Here is where I'll stay for now. Help me not to live in the past. His forgiveness. Amen. Growth and opportunity, friends and family, becoming an aunt. Woo! Job and education, health, good church. Amen. Don't grow weary in celebrating this, folks. I will praise God for giving me the gift of marriage and for giving us a pregnancy. I'll also praise Him for giving me new friends with a difficult move. Amen. Forgiveness, family, answered prayer, the work on the cross. Amen. Safety of my family in physically dangerous circumstances, reminding me to remain very close to Him in the midst of busyness. Answers to health prayers, and allowing me to abide in Him. Amen. Personal spiritual growth, grace in my life, blessed my other believers following God, love, family, health, and an opportunity to serve others. Hallelujah. A peace-filled heart, times we live in, my family and friends. I praise God for putting my family in my life. P.S. and my dog. Let everything that has breath. Wife. Amen. Just a wife. Getting more opportunities to have family time. Oldest daughter finally choosing Christ. Amen. Amen. Last one here. Praise God. I prayed for a desire to love His word, and my desire is bursting with love and sensitivity toward it. Praise God, He brought me into a community that encourages me to follow Him in all I do. Amen. There's more. And I'm sure if we sat here for just a little bit longer, more could be written. Would you fill the day with this activity, encouraging one another with what God has done, who He is? This helps us see the wonder of who He is. He's gracious, good, forgiving. A God that's slow to anger. Man, thank you so much. Thank you, God. Thank you so much for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that we can have a relationship with you. God, we got to celebrate the fact that people came into a relationship with you. We got to celebrate that people are having sensitivity to your word. God, we got to celebrate that you've given good gifts in their life. Everything from wife, family, kids, friends, even a dog. God, we recognize you as a giver of good gifts, your word tells us. Thank you. We praise you this morning. We praise you that you are a God who, despite our sin, despite our folly, despite the fact that we choose to ignore you so many times, you pursue us with almost a reckless abandon. God, I thank you so much for the fact that you have a steadfast love, something that is praised all throughout the Psalms. Would we not make light of that? Would we remember what you've done this week, this month, this year? Would that be something that catapults us into next year as we just consider your faithfulness, your character? Would that give us hope as we move into a new year? Would that give us vision and desire for following you this next year? Would that give us passion and purpose as people, as your people, as your church who's been bought by your precious blood? Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. It's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.